Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we don't have a ton of Tesla news going on. Obviously, the big story for today involving a Twitter whistleblower, so we will talk about that. Towards the end, though, I know people have mixed feelings about that. So first, we do have a little bit of news on AI Day, Tesla putting out a teaser on that today, and then just a couple of other small news items. All right, looking at the stock, Tesla today with a nice outperformance. I do think a lot of that Twitter related. Tesla did start to pop a little bit as this news on Twitter was being released. So again, that's why I feel it is relevant here. But Tesla up 2.25% to $889 per share, while the NASDAQ was flat on the day. All right, so we know AI Day coming up in just over a month from today at the end of Q3, September 30th. Tesla today releasing a little bit of a teaser image, or what may even be the event invitation for AI Day. Tesla posting this on Twitter and Instagram as well. We'll come back to that part in a second, but this features the same robot hands and heart shape that Tesla showed at the shareholder meeting. But it now says AI Day 2022. So rather than AI Day 2, like we had heard before, this suggests that this could be an ongoing thing annually, which would be nice. And it's also now got a location suggesting that maybe this is the invitation. Looks very similar to last year's invitation, which Tesla used to highlight the Dojo architecture, which they ended up then discussing in great detail. This is starting to remind me a bit of Apple and all of the speculation that goes into their event invitations, but hopefully this suggests that Tesla does plan on going into a lot of detail on the Tesla bot and the image that they've shown here, like they did on the feature image last year. The other bit of this that got quite a bit of attention was a comment that Tesla made on their Instagram post accompanying this picture. They said, if you can run faster than 5 miles per hour, you'll be fine. A lot of people seem to be taking that as maybe a hint that Tesla could show off the bot traveling at a relatively high rate of speed. But I'm not reading into it that much. Just as a reminder, this is actually a quote that Elon Musk said last year at AI Day when they unveiled the Tesla bot. He had quipped that we're setting it such that it is at a mechanical and physical level where you can run away from it and most likely overpower it. 5 miles per hour, if you can run faster than that, you'll be fine. So I think the Instagram team for Tesla probably just grabbing that quote from Elon, probably not thinking too hard about what that might imply, especially since we're not seeing the same language being used on Twitter. Maybe if they used it across both, it would be more of a hint, but doesn't seem to be the case, and we've seen the Instagram team do stuff like this before. I mean, we just saw them have to pull the Semi video down. That one also used a direct quote from Elon. Not that that's why I think it was taken down. I think it was just too early, but in any case, I'm not reading too much into that comment. All right, next up, just a quick thing that popped up over the weekend, noticed by Tesla Audrey on Twitter. Tesla has posted a job listing for an autopilot data collection operator in Europe based out of Giga Berlin. This would be a similar role to the test drivers that we have seen Tesla using to test out Chuck Cook's left turn before the 10.69 release. I'd be very surprised if Tesla didn't already have a small team doing this in Europe already, but hopefully some welcome news for our listeners in Europe that are looking for Tesla to make some advancements with FSD in that area. Next, we have previously talked about how Tesla has built up a significant inventory of finished castings at Giga Texas. We've got a new flyover video here of Fremont's showing a very similar, probably even more significant buildup of finished castings. Tesla's got to have thousands of these at this point in time, which I am happy to see Tesla build as much backlog of inventory as they can on parts, any parts, whatever parts they feel like they need, given all of the shortages that we have seen over the last couple of years. Particularly with castings, it makes sense to get ahead of any energy needs that Giga Berlin may face. If there are natural gas shortages, that would impact the casting machines. If restrictions on natural gas usage are put into place, like we're seeing restrictions on power in Sichuan right now. All right, last thing from the automotive world, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the Twitter situation. It's been reported that a Volkswagen board member, speaking with Handelsblatt, announced that the company is intending to enter the mining business in Canada to ensure raw material supply for battery production. Volkswagen said that they don't want to actually open any mines of their own, but they do want to acquire stakes in Canadian mines and mine operators. So I guess that's an early sign of the EV tax credit changes at work. Creates a pretty strong incentive on where those materials come from, especially for a company like Volkswagen that is focusing more on the volume segment, more on those lower price bands that are in most cases going to fall below the per vehicle price limits on the EV tax credit. All right, let's move on to the Twitter news. The Washington Post and CNN kind of both breaking this today. They have found out that there is a whistleblower case being made against Twitter, filed with the SEC, the Department of Justice, among others, by the former head of security of Twitter, Peter Zatko, who is a relatively well-known individual in the cybersecurity industry, in which he is known as Mudge. So this is a very high-profile individual. This is not just some random employee making significant accusations of Twitter. The whistleblower complaint, which is about 200 pages long, was sent to regulatory agencies last month. Part of the complaint shared by Washington Post reads that, quote, Twitter executives have little or no personal incentive to accurately detect or measure the prevalence of spam bots, adding that, quote, deliberate ignorance was the norm, end quote, among the executive team. CNN describes the complaint by saying that, quote, some of Zatco's most damning claims spring from his apparently tense relationship with Parag Agrawal, the company's former chief technology officer who was made CEO after Jack Dorsey stepped down last November. According to the disclosure, Agrawal and his lieutenants repeatedly discouraged Zatco from providing a full accounting of Twitter's security problems to the company's board of directors. The company's executive team allegedly instructed Zatco to provide an oral report of his findings on the company's security condition to the board rather than a detailed written account, ordered Zatco to knowingly present cherry-picked and misrepresented data to create the false perception of progress on urgent cybersecurity issues, and went behind Zatco's back to have a third-party consulting firm's report scrubbed to hide the true extent of the company's problems, end quote. In the claims, Zatco also alleges that it was impossible to protect Twitter's production environment. All engineers had access to it. There was no logging of who went into the environment or what they did. Nobody knew where the data lived or whether it was critical. And all engineers had some sort of critical access to the production environment. Furthermore, the Washington Post explains that four people familiar with the company's process for spam detection, quote, told the Post that the company keeps several internal tallies of spam and bots, known as prevalence, across the service beyond the number supplied to Wall Street. The Post also obtained an internal document, which was redacted to hide the numbers, showing that spam prevalence was a number shared with the board. The document was supplied to the board at a meeting Zatco attended, according to two of the people, end quote. So you've got the former head of Twitter security raising concerns about Twitter's handling of spam, of bots, of other security issues, and The Verge is now reporting that Congress is investigating the situation for Twitter, and Elon Musk's lawyers have already issued a subpoena for Zatco in Musk's case, in addition to the subpoena of Jack Dorsey from yesterday. So I'll share some of my thoughts here in a second, but just to round it out, Twitter did respond to this, at least internally, in an email that was leaked out. Twitter CEO talked about these reports, saying that, quote, we are reviewing the redacted claims that have been published, but what we have seen so far is a false narrative that is riddled with inconsistencies and inaccuracies and presented without important context. I know this is frustrating and confusing to read, given Mudge was accountable for many aspects of this work that he is now inaccurately portraying more than 6 months after his termination, but none of this takes away from the important work you have done and continue to do to safeguard the privacy and security of our customers and their data, end quote. Continues on to mention some of their leadership team, the work that they continue to prioritize, and closes by saying, we will pursue all paths to defend our integrity as a company and set the record straight. All right, as for my thoughts, I think still a lot left to learn here. A lot of this claim is redacted in terms of the information that was shared with CNN and the Washington Post, but I think undeniably this is a huge, huge win for Elon Musk in his case. Even if the whistleblower complaint doesn't end up leading to any substantive action from these enforcement agencies, undoubtedly it will have an influence on the perception of the case from the judge, and it gives Elon Musk a better case for any discovery that he wants to try to do. And in a way, this complaint alone is already serving as a form of discovery itself. So pretty big for Musk, I think. Twitter today was down 7% on this news. I think Tesla definitely benefiting a little bit, even though I don't really think there should be much of a Twitter overhang at this point. Remember, we looked pretty closely at the financials of the deal the last time Elon sold. He shouldn't really need to sell much more, and if he did, likely a very small amount. But you do still have a little bit of risk there, and then also the risk of distraction for Elon. So I'm sure we'll hear more about this in the coming days, but that is all for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, August 24th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.